Hello, everybody, and welcome to Live from the Chicken Barn. This is your host, Dalton Thunder Cooper, and I just wanted to thank you all for tuning in, and let's see if we can talk about with movies today. I know last week we talked about Slender Man and a little bit about how that particular movie came to be and his history and so on and so forth, but I feel the need to talk about it again. Not necessarily how the movie came about, but where the movie went wrong. It's honestly the worst film I've seen this year. Granted, I haven't seen things like Gotti, which is apparently super bad, or Acrimony. But as far as what I've seen, Slender Man is legitimately the worst film I've seen this year. Now, if you haven't seen the film yet, and you intend to, I am going to go into spoilers today, just because I can't think of a different way to talk about this movie other than telling you plot for plot how it went wrong. And I intend to do that, and I'm going to end up spoiling the movie. So if you don't want to spoil the film, if you want to go see it without any idea of what's going to happen, go ahead and click away. I'll give you a couple seconds. Still here? All right, let's get going then. So, Slender Man. Oh, wow. What a disaster. I honestly can't believe how bad this movie is. I guess the best place to start is right in the beginning. The beginning of this movie is four girls sitting on the bleachers of their high school, like football team. You know, it's a small rural town somewhere up north. They don't tell you where, of course. The setting is left ambiguous, but whatever. And these four girls are just hanging out and, like, kind of petting each other's hair, I guess. I don't know. But one of them sneezes. This is, like, the first conversation in the movie. Someone sneezes, and they say, bless you. And then one girl, redhead, says, oh, you know, they say bless you because the pilgrims believed that sneezing was exorcising the demons inside you. And then they're like, oh, wow, really? And then the redhead goes, that's why I never sneeze. I want the demons inside me all the time. Now, immediately, you know, redhead's gone. The person who said that is gone. And I'm calling her redhead because they haven't told you her name. They haven't told you anybody's name yet, and in fact, they don't tell you anybody's name until about 15 minutes into the movie, just to get one name, and the other three girls, they don't mention their names till 30 minutes into the movie. So, we have our group of friends here. We have Redhead, who's gonna die, and we all know that, because she said, I want the demons inside of me. We have most popular chick, who is a track star, I think they say that, and she has a little sister. She's the main character, so we'll just call her main character. We have Spooky Girl. Spooky Girl's the, you know, stereotypical girl who likes the occult stuff and has anti-Trump stuff on her wall. You know a girl like this. It's Joey King, and she's a great actress, but it's Spooky Role. She's Spooky Girl. And then you have our African-American girl. I think her name ends up being Chloe. Yeah, it's Chloe. And the reason I don't talk about her much is because she doesn't do much. But we'll get there. So that was the very first scene in the movie. We're sitting on the bleachers. I want the demons inside of me. Okay, stupid. Cut to the high school. They're walking through, and they meet a bunch of boys, and you can tell they have this weird, like, unexplored tension between the dudes' group and the chicks' group. It's clear that the Chloe likes someone in that group, and it's clear that main character likes someone in that group, and they like the boys like the girls back, but they don't talk about it because it's high school, it's whatever. So they say, oh, we're gonna summon Slender Man. All right, whatever, you weirdos. And the girls leave the dudes, and they go hang out at night. And you see that main character has a little sister who really likes to hang out with a cult girl when they can. Now, that's immediate foreshadowing of, oh, they're going to do something to little sister. We're gonna get there. Trust me. So they go and hang out at Redhead's house. And Redhead conveniently has an alcoholic father who's always passed out drunk. So that means they can take his vodka and sit in her bedroom and drink the vodka and apparently watch POV porn, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a teenage girl. I've never been a teenage girl. I don't ever intend to be a teenage girl. But I don't think teenage girls hang out and watch POV porn together. That just seems like something that doesn't happen. I don't know. Talking about it with your friends might be one thing, but watching it together, that's iffy, in my opinion. I don't know if there's any teenage girls or people who have been teenage girls listening to the podcast. Send me an email and tell me if I'm way off base. If y'all actually do watch POV porn together, let me know and I'll put a retraction out and say I'm sorry. I didn't think y'all did that, but oh man, that's what they're doing. So they're sitting there, they're not like, they're just watching it. They're not doing anything like dirty to each other or anything like that. That's not what I meant to do, if insinuate. They're just watching it, I guess, the same way you would watch a TV show on Netflix. But they're watching it, and they bring up the Slender Man, because the script says it's time to talk about Slender Man now. So they start talking and be like, oh, there's a video you can watch where you can summon him. No, there's not. So they get on their the internet and they pull up. Slender Man, you know, if y'all have ever seen a picture of him, he wears a business suit. And now I can see why, because the man has an electronic press kit up for his mixtape, for his music video, and he's there marketing himself. He has probably an MBA. He has degrees in marketing and business, and he's ready to sell you something. He's ready to sell you himself. So you get on his site, and there's a video that says, summon him. And they're like, ooh. So they click on the video, and they, of course, they have their obligatory, should we watch this? Should we not? We're out of our depth here. And they say, oh, we're going to watch it anyway. So they turn it on, they start watching it, and we get, okay, they did, I will give Slender Man, the movie, some credit here. They provided an epilepsy warning in the beginning of the film, and even in the lobby of the theater, they had some posters up saying, if you have epilepsy, be careful with Slender Man. And it's a good thing, too, because when they start watching this video, if you're epileptic at all, if you have any kind of inclination towards that, you're gonna have a rough time with this movie. There's so much one frame, just flashing black and white. If you are sensitive to that kind of thing, just be careful if you go see this movie. It will mess with you. It does hurt your eyes. It does kind of hurt your head a little bit. But they start watching this movie, this little video, and it's so avant-garde. It looks like a college film, like final project. It's a bunch of stereotypical horror imagery. Woods, night, mist, maggots. Just, you know, it looks like the cursed VHS tape from The Ring, which Sony also owns the distribution, the rights to over here. It sincerely looks like The Ring. It looks like the same VHS that's shot in that very same black and white style. The only difference is you don't actually see the monster. In The Ring film, in The Ring tape, you watch to summon that demon. You see her crawling towards you, and then it cuts out, and then you get the phone call, you know, 7 days. But for Slender Man, you don't actually see him in that video. You see, like, shadows that could be him, but it's mainly just trees and darkness and just horror imagery. It's very non-linear. It doesn't make any sense, but whatever. So they finish watching it, and they go, that was creepy, but nothing. Let's watch a movie instead. Cut, hard cut, get a scene over, and we cut to a time jump, of all things, to where it says a week later. This is where I start already having problems with the concept. If you want to have Slender Man, and he summoned is brought forth by this video, which is easily accessible through Google, apparently, that's fine, but I feel like it would have been better if there wasn't a time jump. I feel like that was kind of forced in there. I think it would have been scarier had the video ended, and they go, wow, that was creepy, and then they start watching their movie, and in the background, you see, like, the shadow of Slender, or something, you know, something to acknowledge that he has seen them, and he's gonna keep watching. So, we go to the next scene, which is everyone's favorite day in high school, the friendly trip to the local graveyard, historical graveyard, which is conveniently surrounded by woods. Everything in this town is surrounded by woods. Of course it is. But whatever. There's actually towns like that. It's just convenience. Convenience in the script, in my opinion. But they go to this, the high school trip to the graveyard, and they're walking around the graveyard, and they've got a tour guide, and Redhead starts hanging back. She starts looking at the trees. And her friends kind of stop and talk to, hey, is everything okay? Yeah, everything's fine. Okay, and then they leave her. They leave her alone, which is stupid because they were just talking about how they were having nightmares about Slender Man. And they know everyone's having nightmares about this, all four of them. And they ignore their friend who's staring at the woods. And then guess what happens? She disappears. We don't know where she is. The field trip's having to stay at the graveyard because we don't know where Katie is. This is the point. They actually tell you the name of the character. Redhead's name is Katie. It took us 15 minutes, but that's the name of the character. Finally, I have a name to put to this person. She goes missing. Cops show up. We can't find her. We don't know where she is. She's not calling anybody back. She's not texting anybody back. Still haven't seen Slender Man. So, it cuts to either that night or the next night. It's not really made clear. And we actually get a decent idea going. The main character, whose name has still not been revealed at this point, is sitting in her bedroom with little sister. She's babysitting little sister while this is a horror movie town where the parents are never home. So she's babysitting little sister because parents are never home. And she thinks she sees someone outside. And she hears someone get in her house. So she goes downstairs to investigate, and she sees someone who's a lot taller than she is, and she panics and runs back up to her room, locks the door, gets ready to, like, protect her sister. She calls 911, which is the only smart thing she's done so far in this movie that anyone's done. She actually did call 911, and she hears crying on the other side of the door, and the voice keeps asking for Katie, and it's Katie's alcoholic father. He thinks that main character knows where Katie is. And he, like, attacks the girls. He attacks main character and little sister. That's interesting. And then they arrest him, of course, and take him off. That's kind of interesting to where the threat isn't Slender Man. It's people around the people who've seen Slender Man. But they don't do anything with that. You never see this again. It never comes back up, of course. So, I'm going to start jumping around a little bit, because I don't want to tell you, you know, plot for plot exactly what's going on. We don't need all that. But the next thing that happens is, you know, they start doing that stereotypical, it was Slender Man. Oh, Slender Man doesn't exist. What else could it be? You know, stereotypical supernatural movies where they, like, it can't be real, but it is, but it doesn't make any sense, so on and so forth. And the next one to get attacked by Slender Man at all is Chloe. But before I go on, I just remembered, I have to talk about something. In the scene where the cops show up and arrest Katie's dad. It cuts to the main character and little sister, like, hugging on the bed, looking out the window. And then in the shadow of the sirens, the lights of the cops, the blue and red, that's coming through their window, and you can see Slender Man's shadow. That's interesting. I really like that, that he's watching. Slender Man should have been in every scene of this movie. Not obvious, not coming at you, not acting monstrous, but that's the whole point of Slender Man, is that he's just watching. There's several parts in this movie where they frame it and film it to where it looks like Slender Man is going to be seen in like a corner or in the shadows, and he's just never there. And I don't know if they filmed it like that and meant to go back and add it in post and just ran out of time and money, or if he was there and they cut it, or if they just did that for some stupid reason. I don't know. Because, like, there's scenes where a character walks out of the frame and they hang on the shot for like 3 seconds of nothing. No Slender, no characters, nothing. And you're just like, but why? You could have had something here. And that's a very common theme in this movie, is you could have. You could have done something interesting. You could have had something scary, but you didn't. You didn't do it. And I don't know why you didn't do it. You had everything going for you, and you blew it. And that's what honestly makes me the maddest, is that this could have been something good. This could have been something great. And they just mess it up every time. Like, the next girl to start getting messed with Slender Man is Chloe. And she's home alone, of course, because, again, this is a horror movie town. And she gets, like, a FaceTime call. And the FaceTime call is clearly Slender Man. He starts walking through her front door. She can't see him. And I'm going to pause and mention this. Sony has the balls to look you in the face and say, product placement. This girl's holding a Sony phone, which nobody has. And she's, it's just blatant right there. Big as all heck on the screen. And the CGI for the scene of Slender Man moving through her house is atrocious. It's absolutely atrocious. They put very little effort into it, which is on it. I don't know why you needed to CGI that. You could have just had Javier Botet strap a GoPro to his head and walk through the house. He's tall enough to do that. And you CGI'd it. And it looks awful. What are you doing? Stop it. Practical effects, people. Practical effects. It makes things look better. Anyway, so Chloe, she knows Slender Man's coming, but she can't see him. She's looking around. She's panicking. And of course, she turns around and gets jump scared. And Slender Man grabs her by the throat and starts choking her. And she starts screaming and panicking. But then she looks in the mirror and there's no Slender Man. She's choking herself. And then it cuts away. It doesn't resolve that. Wouldn't... Why? That's interesting. The concept that Slender Man's not actually there, and it's just their paranoia and they're panicking. That's cool. That could have been something. You know what I mean? That would have honestly been interesting. But they don't do anything with it, because they don't do anything with this movie. So Chloe stops coming to school, and the other girls start trying to investigate. And they say, okay, it's the end of the day. We're going to go check on Chloe. It's the end of the day at school. It's 3:30, 2:30, whatever it is. It's bright. It's daylight. But by the time they get to their friend's house in the small town, it's dark, pitch dark, ain't nothing there. So they go check on Chloe, and they see her, and she's got, like, she's alive. She physically shows up and looks at them, but she's got, like, really dark circles under her eyes. It looks like she hasn't slept in weeks, and she doesn't acknowledge their presence. She just kind of stands at the window because the script says they needed to see her, and she just disappears, and they don't try to follow her. They don't try to get in the house and talk to her. They just say, oh, well, whatever. There she is. Bye. I have a date to go on. I have a date to go on. And oh man, main character goes on a date with popular jock, handsome hunk, love interest number one. And it's the worst scene in the movie. At this point, I was giving the movie probably like a 3 out of 10. There were some redeeming qualities to it, and I just thought it wasn't that bad. I was thinking, this isn't the worst thing I've ever seen. Then the date happens. The date happens. And this stupid... Of course, okay. So, I don't know about you, but typically first dates don't occur at the dude's house. And he's not typically home alone. But again, this is a horror movie town, so parents are never home. And this dude is at the house by himself, and she gets herself dressed up, and he's dressed up, and they have a drink, and they go to like his father's like den or sitting room or whatever, and he puts on like an old jazz like sex record, you know what I mean, and he's like, is this music okay? They have like a 2-minute talk about if the music's okay or not, and he's just like, get on with it, where's Slender Man? So he gets on top of her and they start making out and, you know, all that crap, because it's a PG-13 movie in high school. So obligatorily, we need to have sensuality. We need to have an almost sex scene. Tis the law. So they start making out and the record player starts jumping, which it's shown that Slender Man makes electronics screw up. So she starts going, oh my God. And he's like, are you okay? Are you fine? She's like, yeah, yeah, I'm okay. And they keep going at it. And then she... This is where the movie lost me. This is where the movie went from a 3 down, all the way down to a 1. I kind of wanted to give it a 0, but it goes down to a 1. And she starts hallucinating that her hunky male love interest, whose name does not matter, he starts like, I wish you could see me, because I'm going to act it out in front of this microphone. He starts like shaking his head. Like, she starts hallucinating that it's like they took him shaking his head and sped the footage up, so it makes it look like he's like going crazy with his head. And like, there are scenes where he freezes and stops like moving and is just like kind of barely twitching, but when that happens, his face, this dude's face, gets twisted up in this like derpy, like, I'm a dork fish. Like, I'm not trying to be insensitive towards anybody or anything, but that's what he ends up looking like. He looks like he gets a cleft lip and gets stuck and like this derpy ass orgasm face. And I started laughing. My mother started laughing. She watched the movie with me. The people behind us started laughing. I couldn't believe it. It still makes me laugh every time I think about it. It's so stupid. It's so stupid. It's just dumb. Whoever did that. Editor, director, writer, whoever, producers, whoever said this needs to be in the movie, you're wrong. You're so wrong. That's so stupid. Even Truth or Dare's stupid faces were better because they were consistent. That was the whole point of the villain of that movie. That was his gimmick. He did that stupid ass Snapchat face. But at least that was in the trailer, so you knew you were getting into. But with the Slender Man trailer, they show footage that's not in the movie. They sell you on footage that doesn't exist in the movie. The most prominent of which, in the trailer, you see Chloe in the school holding a scalpel. She stabs herself in the eye and gets blood on somebody else. That's not in the movie. So when they go to that scene in the biology lab where they're dissecting an eyeball, because of course they're dissecting like a cow eye, you think, oh, Chloe's gonna walk in, it's gonna be the first time they've seen her in a month, and she's just gonna stab herself in the eye, and that's how they're gonna wrap her up. Well, if they shot it like that, that's not what's in the movie. She doesn't show back up in the movie at all. The movie ends without resolving her storyline. And the same thing happens to hunky male love interest. Because after Orgasm Face, she panics. And he's like, I didn't do anything. He's trying not to get hashtag me too'd, basically. And she's like, no, I know you didn't do anything. And somehow he figures out that she's thinking about Slender Man. So he pulls up the video and is like, I can watch it. And she goes, don't watch it for me. Promise me, boy, I've only gone on one date with, that you won't watch the avant-garde ring knockoff film. Okay, I promise. So, of course, the next day he comes in with bags under his eyes, and it looks like he's been cutting himself, which they mention is a side effect of Slendermanitis. And you go, oh, great. So he's gonna go crazy and kill somebody. But they don't ever see him again. You never see him again. His plot is unresolved too. So there's two characters who are affected by Slender Man that they do nothing with. They leave it alone. They forget all about it. And you're just gonna pull your hair out in frustration. If you're gonna start a plot point, don't leave it alone. Don't just forget about it 3/4 of the way through your movie. And then you don't even crowbar an explanation in. You leave it unresolved. I'd rather you crowbar in some stupid freaking explanation that, oh, you didn't hear? Hunky male love interest jumped off a bridge yesterday. Or something stupid. That's so stupid. But they don't even do that. Which is even stupider. I can't believe it. I'm at a loss for words on how incompetent that the plot and story is. I'm sorry, I'm getting all worked up. But guys, I love the Slender Man character. I see places where this could have been great. This could have been fantastic. And they just dropped the ball. They dropped the ball so many times. They dropped the ball worse than that Cleveland Cavalier guy. Jair Smith, who, you know, he was the reason why the Cavs didn't win that one playoff game because he forgot the score. They dropped the ball harder than that guy. They dropped the ball harder than the Cleveland Browns owner every year. They dropped the ball harder than Tom Brady missing the catch in the Super Bowl. Last Super Bowl, they just dropped the ball, and you just want to go, stop it right now, stop this movie. After the Orgasm Face scene, I wanted to leave. If I wasn't with like my mother and my grandparents, who all wanted to go see the movie too, I probably would have left. I probably would have gotten up and left, and I would have had to write a review based on 75% of a movie. But honestly, that would have been better because the ending is so unsatisfying. The movie ends with the two girls having a meltdown. The two remaining girls, occult girl and main character. And eventually, occult girl gets like stabbed by Slender Man's like tendrils, even though it's not explicitly stated. She just gets carried away. You don't see her again. But not before it's revealed that a cult girl has basically sacrificed little sister to Slender Man. So little sister is in the hospital with, like, she has ghost skinitis. You know, where you get super pale and super dark under the eyes. And the doctor's, oh, we don't know what's wrong. She just needs rest and fluids. We don't know what's wrong. It's pale skinitis. That's what she has. I've seen a ghostitis. And, of course, during this scene, main character has hallucinations in the hospital where they throw in more stereotypical horror imagery, like chick with long black hair in the bathtub, really tall guy walking towards her, which that was one of the most interesting things they did. They actually had Javier Botet in a doctor's costume walk past her. So since he is the guy playing Slender Man, he has the same build as Slender Man. So when he is walking towards her, you get the vision that it is Slender Man, but it ends up just being Javier Botet in the doctor's outfit. And that was somewhat interesting. And they do nothing with it again. It's so frustrating. And the end of the movie is main character sacrifices herself to Slender Man to save little sister. And it works. She turns into a tree. Slender Man turns her into a tree. And little sister comes out of her coma. She comes out alive and everything's well except for four girls died. I guess, because we only saw one girl actually die, and the one girl we didn't see anything happen to, and the other two girls just stopped showing up. And we don't know whatever happened, if anything, to hunky male love interest. So, then the movie has the audacity to end on a voiceover! A voiceover trying to explain the moral, if you can call it that, of this movie. And it's just so stupid. The little sister is like, four girls dabbled in something they should have never dabbled in. And that's how Slender Man spreads. He's like a virus in the computer hard drive. He goes from computer to computer. And I'm like, no, stop trying to crowbar internet terminology in here just because Slender Man's from the internet. Just stop it. Stop it! And they don't, and it's just so frustrating. Then the final shot of the movie, they, like, zoom in to a picture of the four girls together. And I thought, as they zoomed into this, they were going to show that Slender Man was in the background. That kind of would have been interesting. If you had shown pictures throughout the little girls growing up, and you saw Slender Man in the background the whole time, that's what Slender Man's all about. That would have been super freaking creepy and super scary, and it would have worked. I can just see a different cut of this movie, a different script for this movie, where, let's say, okay, Katie disappears, Redhead disappears, we can't find her, so they hold, like, a candlelight vigil at the high school, in her honor, praying for her to come back, whatever. And as it's wrapping up, the remaining three girls are, like, off to the side by themselves, hugging each other, and they're crying, and they look up at the woods, and just barely in the shadows, you see the white face. Nothing else, just the white face and maybe a little bit of the suit. And they're like, and he disappears. And they're like, did you see that? Yeah, I did. That's weird. So they go, let's say then the next day, they go to Katie's house to, like, cook for her father, who's distraught and a mess, as one would be if their daughter disappeared for no reason. And let's say they go up to her bedroom and they, like, find a photo album. You know what I mean? Like a photo album of them growing up. They've been best friends forever. And they start looking through the photo album. You see them on vacation. You see them just hanging out, being friends, being little girls. And they start seeing weird things in the pictures. They see Slender Man in the background of the pictures. And they go to the next year's photo album. Same thing. There he is. But we weren't even in the state. We were in Italy. We were in Jamaica. We were wherever. There he is. We just see him flip through the photos, and he's still there. He's still there. He's still there. And it accumulates to them finding that picture that it ends on, where all four of them are together, and you can see him in the background. Wouldn't that have been interesting? Where he's been watching them this entire time, since they were little girls. Isn't that creepy? Isn't that more interesting? But no, they dropped the ball. Slender Man, like I said earlier, should have been in every scene of this movie. Not necessarily every frame, not necessarily every shot, but he should have been at least in every scene, and he's just in the background watching, because that's what Slender Man is about. It baffles me that a bunch of high school and college-aged people with $500 and a camcorder made a better Slender Man experience with all these web series on YouTube, starting with Marble Hornets, and then Tribe 12, and Everyman Hybrid, even Dark Harvest, and they did it better. They did Slender Man better. Heck, they don't even reference those amazing projects in this movie, but they apparently, I haven't done enough research on this, I need to double check. They apparently reference a different, they call it the Slenderverse. Slenderverse creator named Alley Cat, who's not well liked in the Slenderverse community, and is her web series, I haven't seen it, but is apparently not very good and is very controversial. And they reference her. So if they reference her, does that mean they just needed a chick and that was the first one they found and they didn't want to reference one of the girls from Marble Hornets? Or did they just, is she the only one willing to play ball for like $200 and a sandwich? I don't know. It's just, it's weird because they do throw in a lot of Slender Man references to his beginnings. They show the original pictures that Victor Surge made on the Photoshop contest. They show several YouTube videos of people who did go and make their own little YouTube shorts with Slender Man and kids. They show the fake legend of Der Ritter, which was come up, which was like the German Slender Man from like the Middle Ages. They show the like the Pied Piper, which has been theorized to be a Slender Man in the mythos. They show a South American god who has been theorized to be like a Slender Man-esque person. They do some things right, and they just do so much more wrong. And when they do it worse, they do it worse when they do it wrong. And that's why I gave the movie a 1 out of 10. And it deserves that 1 out of 10. I am shocked at how bad this movie is. I cannot believe how bad this movie is. And I don't think you should go see it. It's not even like Truth or Dare, where you can laugh at it the whole time. And and like buy the DVD just to show your friends like you would for like The Room or Birdemic. But it's just so boring. It's not worth your time. It's not worth the price of admission. Just don't. Just stay away. Stay away. It's not worth it. And I'm saddened that that's how it happened. But that's how it happened. Well, let's wrap up this week like we did last week. And let's talk about some box office predictions. So, I want to talk about my box office predictions from last weekend. Because I was right as far as some of the numbering goes. The Meg did end up being number one, but it overperformed. I only thought it was going to make about $35 million. It made $45 million. I was right for number two, Mission Impossible. I said number three was either... I did officially say Black Klansman was going to be number three, but I also said number three or number four was going to be a fight between Christopher Robin and Black Klansman. Number three ended up being Christopher Robin... Black Klansman ended up being number five because I didn't realize that they were only opening in 1,500 theaters, where Slender Man was opening in 2,300. So Slender Man ended up being number four. So I did all right as far as prediction goes. But for next week, I think I've got this one down. I think number one is going to be Crazy Rich Asians. And I think it's going to open with about $30 million. Number two is going to be The Meg with about $30 million. I think it's going to stay strong. Number three is going to be Mile 22. And honestly, I'm being a little optimistic here with $20 million. I don't think Mile 22 is going to do that well. I might actually move that. It's fine where it is. Because number four is going to be Mission Impossible with about $15 million. And number five is going to be Alpha with $10 million. I don't think we'll see Black Klansman or Slender Man in the top five this coming weekend. I think it's going to be three new movies and then The Meg and Mission Impossible hanging out. I don't think Christopher Robin's going to be in the top five. That's just me, though. Christopher Robin may outperform Alpha in the end because Alpha's kind of had a bad production cycle, but we'll see. So that's Life in the Chicken Barn, Episode 2. Thank you very much for tuning in. Please leave me a comment if you want to make your opinions known about Slender Man or the podcast or my box office predictions, or if you think I'm a big stupid idiot, whatever. I want to hear back from you. Thank you so much for subscribing and for going on the website and just being awesome. You guys make this so much fun to do, and I can't wait to continue to do it with you guys. And I will see you all next week. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.